the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for your sake he has forgiven you. For his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, I, by his authority, therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please join me in reading together the gradual. Do you have that in your bulletins? Yes, please. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that is set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we give attention to God's word. The Old Testament lesson for this fifth Sunday in the season of Lent is recorded in the book of Isaiah, the 37th chapter. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and rise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken. I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle lesson is recorded by St. Paul as he writes to the Romans. Chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise as we give attention to the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to the Gospel of St. John, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the 12, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Bethlehem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, he will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated as we sing hymn 430, "My Song is Love Unknown."
Friendly tomb, but what a strange
heaven was his home, but mine the tomb wherein he lay. Hear my destiny. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and his Son, Jesus, who overcomes death. Amen. Dear friends, have you ever attended a celebration of life? And when I talk about a celebration of life, I'm not talking about doing a baby shower, or a birthday, or weddings, or anniversaries. I'm talking about what otherwise might be known as a funeral service. Today, I've often gone to the funeral homes especially, and leading into the service, there's a screen up on the wall, the PowerPoint is being presented, and the story of the person's life is being told in the slides that are being shown. And of course, the focus of those slides that are being shown are the person's life in the past. There's pictures of that person who celebrates birthdays. There's pictures of that person who has had graduation ceremonies in their life. There's pictures of that life of family and activities that the family has done, especially vacations that they've taken. And particularly if this person has an interest in a certain kind of hobbies, mine would be fishing, that person's pictures of fishing are showing up on the screen. What is often missing is pictures of the person's faith life. There aren't pictures most of the time, I've seen it a couple of times, about that person's baptism, or that person's confirmation, or that person serving at a servant event someplace, or helping serve food at a place that is helping give food to the poor. Those seem to be missing. The emphasis seems to be mostly on the past, which leaves me asking the question, what's next? Which leaves me asking the question, what was their hope? My mind goes to St. Paul, who says in the 15th chapter of Corinthians, if in Christ we hope only for this life, we are most to be pitied. And so we come to our story today of Lazarus, who has passed away. And as we listen to that story, do you hear any celebration of life going on? I don't hear it happening there. I hear mourning happening. Death has brought an end to dreams. And so, as Jesus first encounters Martha, what's her question to him? Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And then Of course, that turns into a great confession of the resurrection, but we're not going there yet. And then you have Mary coming because Martha has gone to bring her to Jesus. And what's her response to Jesus? It almost perfectly echoes Martha's response. Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. And it's not only echoed in the sisters, but it's also echoed in the sounds of those who have come from Jerusalem to mourn with Mary and Martha. They're echoing last week's lesson, remember the healing of a blind man. If this man could heal a blind man who was blind from birth, remember, certainly he could have kept this man, Lazarus, from dying. Jesus is not celebrating life here. As he encounters the mourning, there is this language that we have a hard time in English bringing up. It's his whole stomach was rolling in sadness. And he wept. Death is faced concretely here. And death is not a friend. It is an enemy that is to be overcome. And it hurts. And it brings mourning. And that's okay. In the Old Testament lesson today, you see another kind of mourning that's happening. Ezekiel is a prophet who is speaking to the children of Judah and Israel. Israel really isn't in the picture anymore because the Assyrians took care of them. But Judah and the leaders and the people have been taken away into Babylonian captivity. And some of the false prophets have said, heads up, it's only going to be a couple of years. And Jeremiah had this sad message to proclaim to them. I wish that you were true, but it's not going to be that way. It's going to be 70 years. And Ezekiel is one of the ones who have been taken away into captivity with them. And he sees how as those years have progressed on, their spirits have grown more and more dim. Their dreams have dried up. Those dreams are expressed by the psalmist in Psalm 137, where it says, by the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept, and there we hung our harps on the poplars. They've given up. Their dreams have dried up. They have become like dried bones in the desert. And now Ezekiel gives a hint as to what brings life. As God tells him, Ezekiel, prophesy to those bones. Prophesy to the breath. And of course, the breath is the Spirit of God that comes to those bones and brings sinews, bone to bone and sinew to sinew and muscle to muscle and skin, and brings new life to them. Where they had once given up, God is now promising them there's going to be a new exodus, and you're going to get to go back to the land of promise, and I will establish you there. And Jesus is very much mindful of that power of God as he breathes his spirit, as he breathes a spirit that comes by his word into the lives of the people. Notice what Ezekiel is saying. Speak to the bones. And that's exactly what Jesus does here, isn't it? As he speaks to Lazarus. He proclaims, "Lazarus, come out!" The people there can't believe that this can happen, do they? Martha says, "Lord, it's been 4 days. He's begun to smell." Remember, they didn't have the embalming going on in those days. And Jesus calmly assures that there is life, that there is life through his word. And as he speaks that word, it brings life to Lazarus, and he comes forth from the tomb. Gets Jesus in trouble. Now the Jews are even more intent on killing him. But he brings life by his word. And St. Paul, in that letter to the Romans that we heard as the epistle today, reminds us that as the Spirit speaks through the word, it brings life to us that the law had taken away from us. And you hear St. Paul saying, "Live not according to the flesh, because the flesh brings what? The flesh brings death. But live according to the Spirit, for the Spirit brings life." And so Paul reminds them later in chapter 10 of his book, "Now faith comes by hearing, and the hearing comes by the word of God, and the word of God comes by the Spirit." And that promise that begins to come alive through Lazarus, through Mary and Martha, and the promise of the resurrection is promised to you and me. That life is promised to you and me because Jesus, who gives his word, who angers the Jews to the point that they want to kill him and do kill him on the arms of the cross, hears a word spoken from his Father that calls him forth from the tomb on Sunday morning. And coming forth from the tomb, he promises life to all those who are in him by faith. And so, where is it here? Where's your font of baptism? Way back there? Okay. That's a good place for it, entering to God's people, right? But he speaks those words to us, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And the Spirit brings Christ into your life. And that life in Christ is a life of peace, is a life of righteousness, is a life clothed in the robes of Christ, the one who has overcome death. So later, St. Paul can say at the end of chapter 8, "There is nothing in this world that can separate us from the love of God in Christ, because that word dwells in us, and as it dwells in us, Christ dwells in us, and his life dwells in us." And he comes to us and assures us that he walks together with us according to his word. And so we're going to be coming to this altar today where his word proclaims to you and to me, "This is my body. This is my blood. I am here to give you life. And as I give you life, I wash away your sins so that you might walk with me according to the Spirit." And so, living in the Spirit, the Word of God, which goes out and creates life, we walk with assurance. And we don't have to turn away from looking at death and look to the past and try to celebrate that without hope. But we can stand right there before the casket, right there in the face of those things that seem to take away from life from us. And we can be there with Christ and we can weep with him, knowing that in his death and resurrection, he brings new life and breathes new hope into our hearts. And so, what's my job at those celebrations of life? What's your pastor's job at the celebrations of life? Our job is to remind them, yet, you know, I really enjoy seeing what that person's life was all about. But I want you to know that there's an even greater life that God has in store for you in his Son, Jesus Christ. And that there is hope that death is overcome in him. In another place, St. Paul said, death is the last enemy to be conquered. And that's what you and I can bring to those celebrations of life. A word of hope from the God who breathes that hope and life into us through his Son and his Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Please rise and join with me as we confess with our brothers and sisters throughout the world our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, you're already seated. All right, our offering will be taking place at this time, and then we will continue with the prayer of the church. Thank you. Please rise and join your hearts with me in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, you raised your Son and sent your Spirit. Sustain us while we await Christ's attention to our present needs. Give strength to our prayers. Heal our weakness and restore all our losses. Give us faith throughout our days in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of hosts, breathe your life into your church, that she may stand by your strength and live according to your word. Lay your hand on men of every era to proclaim your word and to bring life to the downtrodden, the faithless, the fearful, and the outcast by the power of your Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, you have visited your creation in your Son. Grant that our homes would always receive him, that husbands and wives and brothers and sisters would rejoice to hear his promises, steadfastly believing them and ever living in their light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of all, you are the true source of life, which you give through the power of your Spirit. Humble those who are given authority over the lives of our people, that they would discharge this duty honorably in accordance with your will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, the ones you love are ill and need your holy care. Especially be with those who are named before you in our bulletin and in our hearts. Make haste to help them. Spare their lives. On the last day, call them from the graves and unite them to you and all your saints. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Father, in baptism you have given the new birth of water and the Spirit. Make your children strong in your Spirit, that they may shun the works of the flesh and live in this world, expecting the resurrection and the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At this point, we continue with our order of Holy Communion. We say our farewells to those who are listening to us by radio and asking God keep them alive by the power of the Spirit in the faith of Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of far and wide, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Give us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. We join in the Agnus Dei. Take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ for you. Take and drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and preserve you steadfast in true faith to life everlasting. Go in his peace, in the assurance of life. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. God bless you and keep you in that hope he sealed to you in the waters of baptism through Jesus your Savior. Body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ given into death for you. Savior, strengthen and preserve you steadfast in true faith, the life everlasting. Go in his peace and hope. Amen. The Lord's table. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat. This is the body given into death for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and eat. The body of Christ for you. Our Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you steadfast in truth.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK.